Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
At Midwest IT Support Help Desk, we believe that technology should support and enhance your organization's success, not constrain it. With our wide range of best-in-class services, we provide customized solutions that fit your unique IT needs. We are committed to excelling at our job so you can focus on doing yours. Midwest IT Support Help Desk is always available, providing your organization with professional remote help desk support services you need. Midwest IT Support Help Desk will solve your technology issues day or night. Our IT staff ensures that your network and computers are up to date and ready for operation on a daily basis. Don't wait until problems occur. Let our organization solve them with our monitoring software, giving you the peace of mind you need. Let us do the worrying for you. Enabling your workforce with top-notch technologies isn't just important, but imperative for business success. This customizable solution allows your team to work seamlessly and collaboratively in any protected space. No matter what IT services you need, Midwest IT Support Help Desk will be there to support you every step of the way. Midwest IT Support Help Desk. We are committed to excelling at our job so you can focus on doing yours. Please visit www.midwestitsupport.com for more information, or shoot us an email at helpdesk@midwestitsupport.com. Give us a call, 765-239-9668.
Who's got it better than us?
What's going on, everybody? Good morning. Another day, another fun time. No dollars earned on this day of your morning cup of sports right here on RadioAFS.com, Fat Boy Media, DRCP Army. I am B. Evans. Farmer is not here right now. He's actually... poor Farmer. Poor Farmer. He is at the hospital getting checked. There is a issue going on. It's a global hazard. Farmer has fallen victim to. Scientists are actually calling for a ban on glitter. Strippers are starting to come down with what is now being called glitter lung. And so he's there making sure his lungs are clear. Yes, something you guys did not know about Farmer. He does like to rock the banana hammock. He does wear the tassels, and every once in a while, for an extra $5, he will do the helicopter, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Farmer loves to do the helicopter, and he's available for bar mitzvahs, birthdays, weddings. You give him a call, and he'll be there just hopper-choppering it up for you. It's gross and it's disgusting, but hey, it's a lot of fun for him, and So good luck on that, Farmer. We hope that your lungs are free and clear of the glitter, because you know we can't have you cutting back on your nighttime job that nobody really knew about secretly, but now hey, everybody knows, so you know, good luck to you on that one. We will be having a caller calling in here shortly in just a little bit. But if anybody else feels free to call and wants to call in and talk with us, chop it up, feel free to do so. That number is 646-668-8467. Now, I got a couple bits of news feed here, but I'm going to wait till Farmer does get into the show a little bit later. Because I love to hear Farmer's rant, and... these are definitely rant-worthy for Farmer. Anyways, I wanted to talk real quick about a couple of things. First of all, as you know, Eli Manning is after 14 years being benched. That really bothers me to say that, because Eli Manning is a pretty awesome dude. And, you know, yeah, I have some issues with him. I don't like him because, well, he's with the Giants. Nobody likes the Giants, but he's being benched. How can you blame this guy when things aren't going exactly the way you want it, when his main receivers are injured? He don't have much of a team to work with. Okay, so you cut him off and you bench the guy. This guy's ran 210 consecutive games, starts, 210. The only other person that has beat that is Brett Favre with 295, I believe it was. That's a ridiculous stat. He's the second. He's number two in that streak. You're going to end the streak because your players are injured. It don't all fall down onto the one guy. I mean, you go ahead and bring in that backup, and you'll be bringing Eli Manning back into the field very, very soon. I can guarantee you that. And with that being said, we have a caller. Let's see what they have to say about Eli Manning being benched. Good morning on your morning cup of sports with B. Evans, because Farmer's got glitter lung. Who are we talking to today?
What's going on, Brian? It's Chris from Fifth Down College Football Show.
What's up, Chris? How you doing, man?
Oh, man. Did you really just rent Farmer out for a bar mitzvah?
I did. Bar mitzvahs, weddings, birthdays, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties. You know, the sky's the limit when you're a farmer and you can do the helicopter. Now, it might be a short-lived, very small helicopter, but that thing will still fly, let me tell you. So,
I don't know if the helicopter is legal for a bar mitzvah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's actually a good question. I'm going to have to actually look that up.
But anyway, yeah, that's Eli Manning. Nothing made me happier than what transpired yesterday. Being a Cowboys fan, nothing made me happier than listening to the debacle that is the New York Giants.
You know, it's crazy, man. Like, they're going to – I'm sorry. I'm not a Giants fan. At one point in his younger years, I was a huge fan of Jeremy Shockey, you know, because that dude, I mean, he was just fierce, you know. I mean, he was always interesting to watch. But I'm not a big Giants fan. I'm not a big Eli Manning fan. I think the big problem with Eli Manning in the beginning of his career, because, you know, he did struggle quite a bit in the beginning, was the fact that he's a Manning. So when he came into the league, he was automatically held up to a very high expectation because of his brother, which, honestly, I mean, two different players, you know, two different people altogether. And you can't really expect, I mean, and they held him accountable for that. Like, you're Peyton Manning's brother. You should be better than this. I mean, nobody, you know, when Michael Vick was in the league and Marcus Vick was trying to get into the league, you know, they were two players that were looked at differently, you know, and they should have done the same with Eli and Peyton, but they didn't. But Eli Manning has done something amazing with the Giants. I mean, he's the only one ever to beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl.
And he did,
you know,
twice.
And right. And, you know, he's got, like I said a little bit ago, he's got the second longest starting streak in NFL history.
Well,
of 200-plus games.
The streak is what makes this even more amazing, and as a Cowboys fan that lives up here in the Northeast, I have to hear all about the Giants. It's Giants football all the time. That's what it is. In my neck of the woods, it's either Patriots or Giants, and that's it. It's awesome. I've already said I'm a Cowboys fan, but so I've never been a big fan of Eli Manning.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir. I'm really sorry to hear about that. Have you sought help for that lately? They do have professionals.
That's what we do up here. But but I've never been a fan of Eli until yesterday. Eli Manning came out of this as a champion, as somebody I could get behind. I could root for Eli Manning now because of what he did. Because apparently the story is that the Giants went to Eli and said, "Hey, you know, we're going to put some of these younger guys in. So if you want to keep your starting role, if you want to keep your streak alive, we'll start you. And then we'll put in some of the younger guys after." And Eli said, "No, you're not going to cheapen the streak like that. If you're going to start me, start me and play me the whole game. But if you're not going to play me, don't do it. You're going to cheapen the streak. I don't like that. So just pull me right away. So just don't even put me out there." And that, to me, I mean, he could have easily just said, "Yeah, give me the starting streak. Let me keep my starting streak, and I'll ride into the sunset next year. I'll go find somewhere I can start every game." He could have easily said that.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, like,
integrity.
Well, and I know he's very emotional about, you know, not having that starting spot. You know, and I know that he was already seen actually sitting down with his relief and, you know, going over some strategy and, you know, teaching and this and that. And that shows a huge maturity level, you know, and that shows a big thing right there of mad respect for Eli Manning, because no, he doesn't want to lose his starting spot. Nobody wants to lose their starting spot. But at the same time, you know, he's accepting it because, well, what else is he going to do? I mean, it's not like he can change, you know, it's not like it's on his decision. So he's accepted it. He's working through it. And honestly, I think what's going to happen is I don't think that he's going to be out very long, because if you look at the Giants team now, they're not doing very hot. I mean, yeah, I know we know Eli, you know, won 2 Super Bowls and then went on a 4-year, you know, streak, a 4-year losing season streak, but that doesn't all fall on Eli. I mean, it's a team thing, but he's taking this and he's working it the best way that he can, and being willing to not be really that happy about, you know, it was kind of emotional. Watch the interview with him, and it was kind of emotional for him. I mean, he was real emotional in the video. You could see it, you could hear it, you know, but the fact that he's willing to say, "Okay, I will stand here and I will still support my team and I will still help in every way that I can," that shows a lot of class, you know, because some of these guys get pissed off, you know, and they're just like, "Forget it, whatever. I don't want to have nothing to do with you right now." And like immediately this guy's like, "Yeah, this sucks, you know, but I mean, it is what it is. I want to help because I want to see our team succeed."
Absolutely. I mean, Eli Manning, to get back to the point before, Eli Manning has not been he hasn't been anything different than what he's always been. I mean, the difference is the people around him have dropped like flies. Otherwise,
right,
if you look at the stat, if you look at the stats, Eli is exactly what he's been his whole career. So there's no reason to bench him. There's no reason to bench him other than the Giants are 2-9 and they want to tank for a better draft pick. That's it.
Yeah, but at the same time,
it's not like they're going.
I hate when people do that.
To a younger guy. It's not like they're going to a rookie. Like, all right, rookie, we want to get the rookie get his feet wet. They're going to Geno Smith. Everybody knows what Geno Smith is. We already know what Geno Smith is. It's not like they're showcasing him for, you know, to eventually get a starting job. That's not what Geno Smith is. What they're doing is they're basically saying we're 2-9, we're going to tank the season, and but we don't want to call it tanking, so we'll say, oh, we're seeing what we have. No, you're not. You're tanking so you can get a good pick in the draft. We informed people know what you're doing, and you're just trying to massage it. That's what they were doing.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, and we see that a lot of times with a lot of teams. You know, it's like we were talking about yesterday with the Cleveland Browns. You know, they tank every year thinking they're going to hit, you know, a grand quarterback, and, well, we see what the Cleveland Browns do with their quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to – the Browns play for a week in April, or I guess it's going to be March this year because I think they're moving the draft up. But they're either moving it up or back. It's either April or May, one of those. But that's what the Browns play. The Browns play for that week, so they can be the talk of the week leading up to the draft. That's about it. And that's what the Giants are doing right now. They're playing for the draft. It's fine. It's okay. Just call it what it is. Just come in
and
say.
When you've already gotten to the point where there's no hope for the playoffs. You know, there's no hope for the playoffs at all. You've been eliminated. You know you're not going to get there. What other option do you have? I mean, now, morally, you should still go out and give it your best and try to win. But at the same time, you also still, like you said, you want to play for the draft. I mean, that's your next big thing. But, I mean, it's a tough spot you got to put you put yourself in at that point. You know, it's crazy.
Look, I'm on record as saying when my team is out of the playoff race, and that time is coming very soon for my Cowboys. But back in the days when my Cowboys were dreadful, my take was always, hey, we're not going to the playoffs. Lose every game. Get us a better draft pick. We'll worry about next year. As long as we've won one game, I don't care. As long as we're not the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and go winless. As long as we got that one win in our pocket, lose the rest of the games because they don't matter. What matters is getting a better draft pick. I'm okay with that. Just come out and say that's what we're doing.
Right.
People will understand it. Don't try to say we're trying to see what we have for the future. That's just be honest and say we're trying to get a better pick so we can get a better quarterback for the future.
Yeah, but at the same time though, if you sit there and say we're playing for the draft, I mean, if you come out and tell your fans and you tell the people that you're playing for the draft, you're essentially saying, hey, we're throwing these games, and that's illegal.
Yeah.
So they can't really go that route. I mean, it's a tough like that's what I'm saying. It's a tough situation because you know, at that point, you know that a team once they are eliminated from playoffs, they are going to try to get the best possible draft pick they can get, and everybody knows this. So naturally, they're going to be under a microscope at that point. They're going to be looking for faulty throws. They're going to be looking for, you know, quote-unquote accidental fumbles. You know, they're going to be looking for anything they can to say, you rigged that game. That game was set up. You're throwing that game, and now you're under investigation. And
Farmer's not here, so we can talk basketball.
I was about to actually bring that up. I was about to bring that up because
they've done it for years.
Now, you're absolutely right there. But something bigger that I want to talk about, and I know Big T from the Extreme Sports Show is a big fan of little LeBron James here, but did you catch the game last night?
No, I didn't. I was watching hockey last night.
Okay, well, the Cavaliers were playing last night against the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat was running the game for a while.
That's right. I saw the highlights. And then
LeBron
decided he
James,
won.
LeBron James takes them. They've rallied together. They're up by 23 points. He pulls up for a jumper, and it was short. He gets fouled, and he turns around, and he kind of does like the Tiger Woods fist pump down to the ground, you know?
Yep.
And the referee ejects him from the game. LeBron James was ejected for the first time in his career after this was his 1,082nd career game that he has played. He has played in 1,082 games and was ejected for the first time in his career. They asked the referee, why did you eject LeBron? What did he do? And he said it was a culmination of a couple of different acts. Immediately after the no call, and I've seen this. I've seen this play. I've seen this moment. I've watched it time and time again. Just this morning, I've probably seen it about 10 times. And I do not see where he would have got this from. But he said he turned and threw an air punch directly at me. And then he aggressively charged at me and used vulgarity in my ear a few times. Now, yes, he did walk over to the ref. You do see him go to the ref. Aggressively, I don't know if I'd call it aggressively. Vulgarity, we can't hear that on the TV. So I don't know what was said. But, of course, naturally, I mean, you can't really put it past anybody. I mean, yeah, when I get upset, I cuss too. So, I mean, he was fouled. At least it looked like it from the angle that I had seen, from the clips that I had seen. So it's very possible he was fouled. But to get ejected for that, I mean, really? So they asked him if he had considered one technical foul, and the ref had said, I actually only did assess one technical foul. So, and that's what he was ejected on. He was ejected for the one technical foul. He cut everything down to just give him the one. And he then goes on to tell him that there was nothing at all prior to the third quarter that actually led or helped feed into his ejection. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that was a very poor report. There is no reason why Kane Fitzgerald, who was the referee that ejected him, I don't see any grounds for an ejection. I mean, we've seen if you watch the NBA, there is a lot worse that happens with some of these players, and they have not been ejected. Why would you eject LeBron James from this game for just pumping his fist, and it wasn't even anywhere near you or in your direction?
Well, whether the act that LeBron did was ejectionable or not, what this tells me as somebody who's been an NBA fan, when I watch basketball, I watch NBA. I'm an NBA fan over college, so I'm more in tune to the NBA. What this is telling me is that this is the season where they're trying to dust. They're trying to throw a lot of shade on LeBron James because they know his career is coming to a close. I mean, when you're telling me that LeBron's getting thrown out of a game, guys on his team are running away from him. Guys are coming to Cleveland playing, and then they decide, this isn't the place I want to be, like Derrick Rose. You're starting to see a lot of things come out about LeBron James that are not flattering, not LeBron James is the greatest thing to ever touch a basketball. Now you're starting to see all the dark side of LeBron James, and they're starting to spotlight that. And the NBA is picking up on it. And they're starting to say, we need to move on from this guy. We need to move on to other stories. Like, I mean, obviously Golden State is one of them, but now we need to start moving on to Houston. We need to start moving on to the other big names to try to have something. So when LeBron does decide to hang it up, we have something to, we don't just have, all right, now we're in the post LeBron era. We have an
but
era
here's
to
the
go
thing.
On.
Here's the thing.
That's what it tells me.
Okay. But you make a good point, but at the same time, you say they're starting to see the dark side of LeBron. LeBron's been in the league for 14 years. Okay,
well,
he's been in the league for 14 years and 1 month. There is no way you're going to tell me that all this stuff's all of a sudden surfacing up about LeBron's dark side. There's no way. They're just – all it is LeBron is – LeBron's a cash cow, okay? And they were playing – what got me the most about this was they were playing in Cleveland for this game. They were in Cleveland. Okay, so now I know – and you being a sports fan and you running a sports show, I know the refs of the home team are supposed to be non-biased towards one team or the other. But you know it always happens. You know they're there. You know that each ref wants one team or the other to win, period. And we see that a lot. Now, granted, the refs generally at times, one player or another for a couple plays or whatever, they will favor the home team. And then in turn, they will favor the visiting team. But it's not as beneficial as the favor that they led for the home team. But they will kind of make it, they will even it out. So they'll let somebody slide with a foul, then they'll let someone else slide with a foul. But the home team usually gets the more favorable chance at, you know, the bigger part. So they kind of balance it. And I know you've seen that before. Anybody who watches sports on a regular basis has seen that. But at the same time, to eject him for throwing a little air punch that he didn't need. Have you seen the clip for this?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I want you to see this. I want you to see this supposed air punch that went straight to the referee, because I'm sorry, but you heard it here. This is complete bullshit. Now, do I like LeBron? He's an amazing ball player. I will give him that. I'm not a big Cavaliers fan. I'm not a big LeBron fan, but I give credit where credit is due. LeBron James is an amazing ball player. But even if I hated you, okay, even if I could not stand him as a person, as a ball player, as whatever, I like to try and look at games in the fairest way possible, even if it's my own team and it's a bullshit call and my team should have been penalized for whatever it may be. I'll stand up. I'll call it. You know, I'll admit it. It's bullshit. But this right here was complete nonsense to be ejected for a damn air punch that was supposedly directed to the referee, but it was nowhere near him and really wasn't even directed at him. It was just LeBron doing like a fist pump because he got fouled on the drive on that jump shot. He was driving to the hoop. He pulled up for a jumper. It missed. He got fouled. He fist pumped. Why? He's going to the line. Two free shots.
All right, I'm looking at it right now.
Please watch that. They're gonna
slow it down. So let's see here. All right, so LeBron's got the ball. He drives to the hoop. It looks like he was fouled. Let me look at this again.
I'm actually watching it right here. I've got it right here on my screen.
The angle I'm looking at is That's a foul in today's NBA, but the NBA. I sound like that get off my lawn guy, but in my day.
You're absolutely right. That was regular ball play. In today's NBA, you are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. In today's NBA, that's a foul. And you know, but my issue is the fist bump. Did you see it? And did you see where in relation the referee is when this happens?
I see it. I see where he is now. They don't show the fist bump, but they do show where the ref is, like, at half court, and he's at, like, the foul line.
Right. Well, and it's literally, like, right after he takes the shot, he turns around, and he throws his arm, and it just – I'd say they're probably about – I don't know. They're probably, you know, 6-7 feet apart from one another. But
oh yeah.
But there's no way that this was thrown at the referee. Complete bullshit. Fitzgerald's a dick. I'm gonna say it. He looks like he's angry, like his wife done to left him, or he's gotta sleep on the couch or something. I don't know. Maybe his alimony payments went up too high and he's pissed off at the world. Who knows? But there is no way. I'm sorry. This is a bullshit call. You know, LeBron James may be the king of flop. He may be one of the biggest crybabies in the league, but he's still extremely talented. And he has played 1,081 games without an ejection. He has cried, he has yelled, he has gotten so upset at times, and has maintained his composure to never get ejected. Okay, his little Tiger Woods fucking, you know, underhook fist bump, he's done that so many times. All sports players do it. If that's the case, then how many times did you see Kevin Garnett or somebody, you know, Ben Wallace, okay? And I keep naming off names if you need me to. They go and they throw both their fists right in front of them and swing them around, and it looks like if that's the case, then they should be ejected for a double hook. That's what it should be, a double air hook that was directed towards somebody in the stands. Somebody felt threatened at that point. And it was in celebration. There's nothing wrong with this move. Now,
I got the better angle here. Now I can see it. That's not even a punch. That's just a waving of your arm. He didn't even throw a punch. He just slammed his arm down. It's like he's slamming his. It's like you're slamming your thigh, like you get mad, like when you get mad at work and you're like, damn it, I did something wrong, or damn it, something happened, and you hit your own thigh. Like that's not even a punch.
Exactly. And then the ref goes on to say that he charged at him.
Well,
he says that he aggressively charged at him. And then vulgarity in his ear a few times. Now, the vulgarity part, I don't know, because we don't hear that. The game doesn't come with subtitles. But aggressively charged at him, I'm sorry, but if you watch the video, again, he takes the shot, he falls backwards, he does his little pump as he's in motion to move. He has momentum going, and LeBron James is not a small guy. He's moving on a basketball court. He was going in that direction you just happened to be standing in. He was nowhere near you. He wasn't going to slam into you intentionally. And you blew the whistle on him. So then he stops and walks. He stops and turns to you. You see that in the video. He stops and actually turns to you.
Yeah, he's running. But he ran. He's LeBron James is running back on defense to begin with. LeBron James is running back because you know LeBron, and I'm going to declare myself right now. I'm a Celtics fan, so I have never been a LeBron fan. I've always been on the side of I hate LeBron James because he's not on my team. But so I'm never going to side with LeBron. But what LeBron does, we've seen it all the time. He runs back and blocks somebody's shot, you know, because that's what he does on defense. He does that run-up block. So he's running back on defense, and you stop the game to call a technical. Of course he's going to stop right next to you and say, what did I do? Or, you know, probably in more colorful language. And, I mean, we're on the same page here with the official. Like, my question to the official, and this is why everybody's just no one gets to talk to the officials, and reporters that talk to the officials don't ever ask the right questions. My first question would be, what did you expect to happen when you call a technical on somebody? Like, do you expect them to just walk away? They're gonna say, what did I do? Or what is wrong, you know, in more colorful language, what the F is wrong with you?
Exactly. And my thing is, you know, when he was talking to the ref after the whistle blew and everything, he looked pretty pissed off, especially after the ref, you know, ejected him, which I'm pissed if I get ejected from a game too. But, you know, I mean, we all know that LeBron likes to cry foul all the time. And it could have been one of those things where, yeah, he was calling for a foul. The ref ejected him. And then, yeah, at that point, I'm going to be pissed off too. So how can you hold that against me? You just ejected me when I'm thinking I got fouled.
But that goes back. The explanation of when you gave the ref's explanation of what happened, it is exactly feeds into the premise that I gave you before, that the league is trying to distance themselves from LeBron James. I don't understand. If you get a technical foul, you're not ejected from the game. You can get two technicals.
Exactly.
So what LeBron did, as a fan of the NBA, I don't understand how that's an ejectionable offense. You give him a technical, you say, hey, if the ref really felt threatened, all right, technical foul. Look, I felt threatened by you. You need to calm down. And we move on with the game. There's no reason for an ejection there unless that was a second technical. But there's nothing there that says that's a double technical. It looks like it's his first one.
Well, and it kind of makes me wonder too, because at that point Miami was down 70-93. Cleveland was winning by 23 points. The final score of that game was 108-97. So it's kind of like, was the ref trying to help Miami win by taking LeBron out of the game? Now, before we continue on with that, we do actually have a caller on the line that I want to get to here in just a minute. But before we do, I'd like to welcome back to the show Mr. Farmer. He is here with us. What's going on, Farmer?
What's going on, B. Evans? How you doing, baby cakes?
I'm good, buddy. How is everything, man? The hospital. Did doctors say you're good to go? Are you cleared?
Yeah. Yeah, the doctors said I'm good to go. They sedated me, and I just woke up. So, it's better late than never, right?
Hey, you know, I just wanted to make sure, you know, because that glitter lung, from what I'm reading about, you know, it's really can be really bad and career ending. And, you know, we don't want Stripper Farmer to be, you know, come down to his career ending, you know, decisions. Cause, you know, I'm sitting here talking with Chris from the Fifth Down College football show. And, you know, he's thinking about hiring you for a birthday party here in the next year. So we need to make sure you're still healthy.
Yeah, you know, I seem to be doing all right. I got some glitter in some unnecessary areas. They said I'm going to be shitting sparkles here for a while, so I guess I got sparkly shit.
Okay, well, we're sitting here talking about LeBron James's ejection from last night's game, which was complete and utter bullshit. If you haven't seen it, I urge you to check out this video and tell me where you see an ejection. The ref actually said that LeBron threw an air punch at him and then charged at him aggressively and all this other stuff. Now, on the line, we have on hold, I believe, is Big T from the Extreme Sports Show to talk some LeBron James ejection with us.
Sweet.
So
I'm going to go take a sparkly shit because you're talking about basketball, and when you want to talk about a real sport, I'll be right here.
Good morning on your morning cup of sports. How are you doing today?
What's going on, y'all?
What's up, Big T?
What's
up, Big T?
Nothing, but what's up, Chris? What's up, Farm?
What's up, baby cakes? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing. Hey, what you doing in the hospital, man? You sedated? Why you sedated?
Well, I guess I took a glitter something or another. I don't know, man. I was stripping last night for the Rice Krispie treat maker, and I got glitter in places I shouldn't have, and now I shit sparkles.
Oh, you sliding down the phone?
So, right. You know, so now it was yeah, I'm like that troll on Trolls that shit sparkles and gets sparkles all over people. So that's kind of me today, Mr. Sparkles. So that's what everybody can address me as today is fucking sparkles.
Wow.
All right, so Big T, man, tell me you watched this game last night.
No, I was at work. I saw the highlights a while ago. And my point is, maybe Bron got what he deserved. I know y'all, he just getting payback for all the times and stuff he got away with. He's been crying the whole while for years. He got called a bitch a couple years ago with Jermon Green, and then his ego boosted up. He's just getting back what he deserved. He got one little bitch.
No, I agree. Thank you, Big Kick. Thank you. No. That's what I said. That's what I said.
I agree with you. I agree with you on the karma aspect. But at the same time, if you're going to eject the man, don't come up with some bullshit saying that he threw an air punch at him and then charged at him aggressively. Come on now.
I agree.
These are
two complete bullshit claims. He's not the only referee that would make up a call like that. You know, you look at referees and they feel threatened by anything. And, you know, I seen referees make a call like this guy, he threw something at me. Steph Curry got ejected earlier this year.
The mouthpiece.
For a mouthpiece, yeah. So some of these referees just make up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They get ejected for anything. So you met up with the wrong referee that won't go kiss your ass, and that's what happened. And he got ejected, and he didn't get a second ejection though. He just got one technical, right?
And he got the one technical, and yeah, they got the one technical, and they ejected him.
Yeah, wow. So he just got karma came back to him. He deserved it, in my view. So
he is the biggest crybaby of the league. I will agree with that, but
yeah.
I like to see games called fair. Now, and I know these refs, they put up with a lot. I know the refs put up with a lot of shit. But the whole he threw an air punch at me, like directly at me. Come on, man. That's like some of the most bogus shit I've ever heard.
Yeah, I agree with that. But let's see now. You can see now. I was listening to Chris a while ago, and he was saying about how they're pushing away from LeBron. Now, if he get fined, let's see that. I want to see if he go get fined for
what the referee said, because you don't supposed to say nothing against the referee. So let's see, is he gonna get fired? Steph Curry got fired. Let's see, he gonna get fired.
Well, I think he will. You know, the ref says that he did, so he probably will get fired. But he probably will get fined. But I don't know. I mean, we'll find out within the next day or two. It'll probably be out sometime today, if not today, tomorrow at the latest. But I don't know. Like I said, I go back to it. Does LeBron deserve to be treated, you know, with some disrespect because of his crybaby-ass attitude? Yes, he does, by all means. But to sit there and give some bogus statement that can clearly be debunked by watching a video, it's nonsense. I'm sorry. Now, what he said to the ref, we don't know. Fine him for that. But don't fine him for the bogus bullshit you're claiming.
Well,
you know, if he sat there and said something to him and cussed him out, then fine. By all means, fine him for that. Because these athletes should be held to a standard just like anybody else. If I go to my job and I start cussing people out, well, I can get wrote up and get in trouble for that as well. These guys are idolized by children. They should be hold a more mature level because they are publicly on TV and the news everywhere every day. And they know this. They are idols, and in some cases, they are literally the gods for these young kids. But
okay. Yeah.
But to sit there and punish a man for something that he did not do, as much as I disagree with LeBron and his actions as a crybaby and the king of flop, I would gladly support him in this fight to go against this call.
You make a great point. But now let's see what the league will do about it, because a whole lot of players have complained like that before, something they didn't do and get injected. I'm going back to, I think it was last year, look at Cam Newton. I think they were playing the Saints, and he went to the referee and said, why didn't you make that call? He got, you know, it was a late hit. And I think what Ed Hockley said, that you're not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's double standard. Now, let's see what LeBron said, because LeBron said something, and the league will look out for him or not, you know. Because I think he ain't gonna get fined. I think the league love LeBron. I think they just, you know, he's their man. And, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, to a certain extent, Michael Jordan will protect him like that. But let's see what happens.
Well, let's rewind this here. Let's go away a bigger point. Remember what happened this offseason. Contracts skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And whole media narrative about the NBA was players are taking over the league. That it's a player-driven league. Now you've seen Steph Curry get ejected and fined. Now you've got LeBron getting ejected and fined. Is this a directive from the league office saying, you know, from the owners saying, hey, we need to put these guys in their place. We run the league. We want this run the right way. And trying to get some of the power back from some of the players.
I agree with that. That could be, to me, yeah. I can agree with that.
I think it's safe to say that it's just a power trip both ways. And to say, you know, because I'm sorry, but have you – and I don't know if you noticed this. Big T, I know you follow Golden State. I know you like Steph Curry. Did you notice an attitude change with Steph Curry after they told him he could not wear his shoes that had the Bible verse on it?
His demeanor got
different. When they said that he could not wear a pair of basketball shoes that had a Bible verse on it, his demeanor just kind of changed a little bit. You know, I mean, it's stupid ass rules that are in place. Like, who cares if he's got a Bible verse on his shoes? How many people are actually going to see it when he's playing anyways?
You can't see it. I think he gives his shoes away almost every game.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he had it plastered all over his jersey so you could read it the whole game. He just wanted something small on his shoes, and they told him, no, we will fine you if you wear it. And if I remember right, didn't he wear one and they actually fined him one game or something?
I think so. I got to look into it. Yeah.
But, I mean, and yes, Chris, you are right. I mean, they have, like, the players have taken over. But at the same time, who's to blame for that? The league has let them take over. And then now they're trying to take control again? If you go off of that theory, yeah, they're trying to take control again. Okay. But why did you let them have that power anyways? Here's an idea. Stop paying them so damn much money. And then that way, you don't give them the power. Stop paying them so much money and giving them so many – so just stop giving them so much to feel like they're gods, like they deserve, and they are entitled to every single thing that they want. Because when it all comes down to it, one single injury can remind you that you are no more of a man than I am, sir. You are just another human being. You have a talent. But that is it.
The league can't do anything to backlash what's happened. They can't backlash anything in the rise in players until the next CBA comes up. And this just happened like last year. I would say in the last 2 years, that's when the players started these bit. You know, the started to get all the. You know, all the players started to go, we want to play together. We want to do this. We want to do that. That's been ramped up a lot in the last, I would say in the last 2 years. That's kind of, you know, been it kind of boiled over last year. So now the league, my point is the league is trying to correct itself. It can't correct itself with the money because of the CBA. So they have to do something else. So now, that's probably that's just one of my theories about why you're seeing Steph Curry getting his name thrown out there in these kind of situations. You're seeing LeBron getting shade thrown at him. You're seeing these kind of things because the ownership is saying we need to get the light off of these players. We need to put them down a little bit. So that they don't have as much power. And if we can do that to Steph Curry and we can do that to LeBron James, that's going to keep the guy who sits on the end of the bench and is maybe the ninth player on the team, that's going to keep him in line. And we need to keep that. We need to keep them down there. That's what I see.
I can agree with you, and I can go back and tell you when it started. As well, it started when LeBron went to Miami. Because if you can remember correctly, LeBron went to Miami, and Pat Riley had a problem with he having his friends at the front row and things like that, and he they got to be front row tickets. Pat Riley was that type of guy that it's about the team, no distraction of outside. You can't even – you go back and look at the Boston Celtics and Lakers 30 for 30. Magic now. They couldn't have family on buses, nothing like that. And Pat Riley was that type of guy. And when LeBron was, like, trying to make that he wanted to do things his way, have his guys there, they can be there doing this and doing that and doing what they want to do. And I can agree with you. They is the type of power that – I think LeBron generation and Dwayne Wade and them brought in, hey, we're going to do things that way. So when Michael Jordan complained about it, what we'll talk about, Brian, about two months ago, right? And
he was like, you know, the league are, you know, you shifting so much power to the team, everybody on one team and stuff like that. You letting guys do what they want to do. And, you know, I think a whole lot of power has been shifted to what they want, not what the owners want. And you have no discipline in your teams. And the players have took over a lot than they need to.
Fair enough. All right, so Mr. Farmer, are you still with us?
He's asleep. We're talking about basketball.
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, I've got to jump back to the very beginning of the show. I didn't get to do my little news segments because you weren't here. But I had a couple of things that I wanted to wait until you came on for because I knew you would love them, and I want to hear a Farmer rant.
All right, let's I want to give my 5 cents about this whole taking it to the net and playing in the paint.
Oh, Farmer of basketball.
Yeah, gonna talk about basketball. I got to sit down now. Hold on.
So, you know, the NBA, the NFL are a product of their own fuckery. They have allowed these players to get the power that they have because of potential player boycotts, potential player lockouts, or whatever the particular scenario is. The NFL and or the NBA doesn't want to be what the NBA – or sorry, what the Major League Baseball happened, what happened to them when their strike happened. Major League Baseball has been going through the rebuilding of the player strikes from when I was a kid. But what the NBA and the NFL needs to do is they need to put their foot down to these spoiled, pompous, arrogant brats that they call themselves NFL football players and or NBA players. Like what B. Evans said, you need to cut these people's pay. There is no way in HELL hockey sticks that anything or anyone is worth that much money to play a game. For the money that these NFL players pay these people, these people should toe the line of the rules that are placed in front of them. If they do not play by the rules, they need to be A, ejected from the game for an indefinite amount of time until they can play by the rules, or B, fire every single one of them and start over so that people can enjoy the sports that they tune into. There's my 5 pennies there, B. Evans.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Now, a Russian man, you're going to love this one, Farmer, because I'm just going to be quick about this so you can go on. A Russian man has died after he pulled the pin out of a grenade and posted photographs of himself holding it. Go ahead.
Fuck, dude. That's about as bad. That's about as bad as kneeling in front of me on a 4-lane road trying to stop traffic. You're gonna die. Jesus Christ. What's this world coming to?
Apparently, the guy expected that the grenade would not explode as long as he didn't throw it.
Are you stupid? You gotta be stupid! Did Stalin tell you to do that?
Wait,
that is how Stalin killed so many people. It's because he told him, hey, you hold this grenade, it's not gonna blow up.
I gotta call time out here. How did they get that quote about what the guy thought?
No. That wasn't.
Was there.
I'm saying apparently.
Saying, where is mine?
I'm saying apparently he thought that it wouldn't. Apparently he thought that it wouldn't explode if he didn't throw it.
Okay, that's a Brian Evans theory. Okay.
Well,
hey.
See, I just figured Spock from Star Trek was there, and he kind of did the two finger thumb finger on his head and said, "All right, this is what he said." That's what I was thinking.
So, here's another one for you, Farmer. A 65-year-old man was treated in a hospital and now he is out of danger. He was at a zoo. He approached a caged lion and tiger, trying to feed them with paper money. The tiger.
You know what? I think that gentleman was in the bed right next to me when I was at the hospital. I was wondering what was up with him.
I'm sorry, I got that wrong. It wasn't a zoo, it was at the circus. But the tiger bit his entire middle finger and half of his ring finger off.
Yeah, that would explain the dude. That would explain the dude. And I wasn't at the strip club, I was at the zoo. I was at the circus. That would explain all the... Man, I gotta stop drinking.
Hey, Farmer, did he try to give you a middle finger?
No, man, I kept that, baby, you know, because I tried to do on one of these strippers the Adele, and, you know, it wouldn't allow me. Hello from the other side.
And now, your daily rant from Farmer. Hey, did you hear that Jimmy G is starting quarterback?
Up again. Can we please get his name right?
How do you feel about the fact that he is starting quarterback right now over C.J. Beathard?
Well, I have not heard. You're trying to get me riled up, but I'm not in a riled up kind of mood today. But you're pushing the right buttons, B.
Hold on. Recent news: Colin Kaepernick and Donald Trump are in the same amount of percentage of making Man of the Year cover for a magazine. Figure that name out of doing something.
Are you fucking kidding me?
There it is! Hey!
Oh my God!
What's JJ Watt? Why can't we have a true blue American? I guess he's not blue. Anyway. Why can't we get an American guy, not saying Colin Sackerpick isn't an American, not saying the orange buffoon is non-American, but why can't we get – why can't we have the Browns PR person as person of the year?
True.
Farmer, you know why. We already know why.
I swear I thought he hung up on us. I really did. I thought he hung up on us. Hey, we haven't given people our update, Farmer.
Oh, we haven't. By all means, sir. Give them the
all
update.
Right. Oh, well, thank you, sir. So, yesterday, if you guys had tuned in, you already know what happened. And if you didn't tune in, yesterday, we called.
Don't listen to the damn show, you jabronis. You listen
That's right.
to one day, why don't you listen to them all? There you go.
Exactly. But we decided to call the Browns organization. I had an honest question for them, and I got on the phone with the public relations man, the main guy in public relations, and I asked him my question of if we were to convince the Browns players that the entire season – was an extended preseason, would we see them get a W? Well, then it fell silent, and we thought he hung up on us. So Farmer decides, hey, I'm interested here. So he tweets out to this guy, and he responds back to us and says that he did not know. He thought we were prank calling him, in all honesty. He thought we were prank calling him. But it was kind of like apologetic. I took it as kind of like an apology because he didn't hang up on us. He, I guess,
oh, no, he
lost
he
signal or something.
Matthew.
But I kind of took it as an apology. What do you think, Farmer? Did you take it that way? It was kind of apologetic in a way.
It was. He's like, hey, you know, I thought this was a prank call. But I didn't know that you were an actual morning radio show. So a PR person of the NFL thinks that we're a morning radio show. That stature just by itself. So thank you.
Exactly.
Oh, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. We are on the radio right now. Well, kind of. And we are in the morning. So I guess we qualify as a morning radio show. And
right.
He wants me to let him know what the show's about. And that he would want to come on the show and talk to us.
You know what would be awesome? If we could actually get an opportunity to figure out what the problem is with the quarterback situation in Cleveland. I would like to say, so I would like to ask him, be like, so would you say it's a safe bet to say that Jeff Garcia is probably the best quarterback you ever had? Because we know what happened there.
Yes, we do.
Farmer and Brian, you guys are glossing over the biggest issue of what this guy did yesterday. You guys are missing the entire point. And he kind of hoodwinked you. He hoodwinked you with all the, oh, I didn't know you guys were a morning show. Just think about this for a minute. When he didn't know you were a morning show, that's how he treated somebody who was calling. He didn't give his – go listen to the call that Brian had. When he answered the phone, he didn't say his name. He didn't say his title. He didn't say, hey, thanks for calling blah, blah – you know, thanks for calling blah, blah, blah of humor relations of –
we pointed that out because we also made the comment that it was a very unprofessional.
It
was very, very poorly executed.
But think about this. For anybody who's listening, that's how they're going to treat you. That's how they're going to treat a fan who took the time. I mean, they didn't know that you were a morning show. That's how they're going to treat somebody who calls their office. That's the kind of disdain. And then once they realize, oh, these people have a media show, these people have a way to reach people, oh, now we'll be nice to them?
Well, if you would like, sir, when we get him on the show, I would be more than happy to let him know that Chris from the Fifth Down College Football Show thinks you're a dick, sir.
Absolutely. That about sums up my take of it.
What do you think, Farmer?
Public relations I've ever seen.
Well, you know, if John Paul Baptiste is listening, say, sir, your public relations definitely needs to be stepped up a notch, and it would still be an honor, sir, have you talked football about the Browns?
No, it would be a very big honor to have him on the show and to talk some football with him, even if it is about the Cleveland Browns. I mean, all joking aside, you know, the Cleveland Browns, they are a very loved franchise from a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of fans of the Cleveland Browns. I don't know why. I think they've got like what 20 wins in their entire in their entire history, but now, all joking aside, it would be do what?
How many fans they got?
I don't know how many fans they got, but I know the dog pound is pretty huge, you know, and they like to get fisted. We've heard that on the radio on their recording.
Okay.
But it would be it would be an honor to talk to him on the show, have him on, and get a better understanding. You know, we might be able to find out what's going on with the quarterback situation, talk a little bit of what happened with Jeff Garcia, knowing I'm a 49er fan, Farmer's a 49er fan. I kind of want to know. But, you know, from their perspective.
I
want to
know about Josh Gordon. You know, I want to know how the PR department is handling Josh Gordon in the backlash of possibly, you know, Josh Gordon got re-signed and that particular backlash of that. I have some serious questions for this man.
Exactly.
And hopefully,
you know, he can come on and chop it up with us, and we can, you know, gain some Brown fan listener base that likes to get fisted.
Exactly. You know, and I think that it'd be a really good show. It'll be a lot of great insight, and I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to have him on the show. Once again, Chris, I mean, if you'd like, I'll let him know you think he's a dick, but you know, or you can call in and actually do that yourself, and then that way I can be like, hey, yeah, sorry about that, sir. He's just a weird caller that's clearly got some issues.
Welcome to your morning cup of sports, because we got a guy who likes to be calling Big Sexy. You never know, he may call in also. So just yeah, a heads up, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, you hear that, B? Every time I call him Big Sexy, he just gets this shitty grin, and I feel like he's blushing right now.
Oh, dude, what are you talking about? You feel like it. I can hear him blushing. Like, he's blushing. He's blushing in volumes.
Yes, he is. For a African-American, you are turning red, sir.
Yeah.
I guess that's why you're a Redskin, right? Hey, ba-boom, ba-boom.
Hey, Farmer, are you a fan of Michigan?
No.
Well, I will be rooting
unless it's
for Michigan.
Michigan. Hold on. Let me restate myself. Unless it's Pawpaw, Michigan. Other than that, I could give two flying fucks about the state. Carry on.
I will be rooting for Michigan here very soon when they beat North Carolina. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay. We're talking footy basketball. Gotcha.
I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. You know,
give your up way. Do a good up way and call it a day.
But Brian, that's not Michigan's MO. They don't beat North Carolina. They just call timeouts when they don't have any.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
That's how Michigan plays North Carolina.
Just want to say, with the upcoming game, I don't care who wins as long as North Carolina loses.
Right. And somebody gets ejected for fake punching someone.
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would not be watching the game because I would be at the 9-5 at that time. But I was, you know, a stick moment going to the bathroom will happen about 8:30 p.m. And, you know, I'm not worried about it. No sweating, unless I'm being in the stall. Then I'm sweating.
Hey, Big T, if you have some glitter coming out, baby, get it checked out. Because Mr. Glitter Sparkles is a bitch, all right? That shit gets caught in sideways, cattywampus ways. And you're just kaboof, and it's like, holy shit, what just came out of me?
But I'm not worried about that game. No sweat, no, you know, 89-62 win for Tar Heels.
Wow, I think the glitter went to your brain, bro.
Yeah, 89-62, Tar Heels win.
Glitter went to his brain, guys. We might have to sedate him.
And Duke will probably get upset tonight by Indiana. Just throwing that out there.
You know, see, Duke's got something that North Carolina doesn't have. It's the big number one before their name. I believe that's a rating, sir. And you know,
don't we hear that every year?
Yeah, every year they're number one. Every year they're number one.
What when they finish, they like, you know, Lehigh beats them or Wingate, win beneath my wings. Somebody
that rating went to Arizona this weekend.
Yeah.
Here we go, guys. I'm gonna put this in farmer language for you, so everyone can understand Mr. Glitter Sparkles. It does not matter where you start the race. You can start numero uno. You can can be number one until the day you die. But it don't mean shit until you bring home the national championship. You can be number one going through the Pink 16 or whatever you call that stupid tournament to the Fab Four. You could still be number one. But if you lose, you a zero. You're not a hero. And that's all that matters is when you take home the hardware. So, B, shove that number one up your candy ass. Put the pinky up there also in the pussy and feel the Adele. All right?
Well, I'll tell you what.
You
better get ready, Big T, because February 8th on your morning cup of sports on RadioAFS.com, I will be here with the biggest bet you have had to deal with when Duke plays UNC.
But Big T, did you notice, Big T, that he had no comment? Zero comment about what I just said.
Not listening to you, Farmer.
Because who is
zero comments about this whole thing. You can shove that one sideways up your ass if you want to also.
Okay, inside he's nervous. He already knows what's going to happen. They number one every year, Farmer. They start out number one every year. Duke is. But they don't finish number one. But, hey.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like Alabama in football, and then the war damn Eagles took them out. I hate to be the voice of reason, because normally I'm not the voice of reason.
When farmers voice the reason, we got trouble.
Right.
Well, all right,
I'm just saying, dude. I'm just all right, saying,
ladies
bro,
and gentlemen.
Shove the one sideways up your ass and call it a day.
Fair enough. Now.
And then you'll shit out number ones instead of glitter. I think I'd rather shit out glitter than number ones. Number ones would hurt a little bit. There's a little ridgy there.
Now, Farmer, you missed the part of the conversation when we were talking about Eli Manning and getting benched. Eli Manning is being benched for the first time in his 14-year career. He has got the second longest starting streak in NFL history, second to Brett Favre. Brett Favre still got him by a lot. Now, Eli Manning has got, at the end of this year, he'll have 2 years left on his contract. He's got the no-trade clause on there. Do you see him leaving after the end of his contract, and if so, where do you think he will go?
Well, B, I think McAdoodle did a disservice to Eli Manning. Eli Manning has been faithful to the Giants mafia, faithful to the Giants fan base, faithful to New Jersey. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Farmer said New Jersey. He's been faithful to this team since they drafted him. And McAdoodle, the doodle brain with no noodles, benches Eli Manning for Geno Smith? That guy needs to go to China and suck on a penis pop or something and shove it up his candy ass and shit out sparkles because there is something not right with his head.
Because it was
on
when you bench Eli Down Syndrome Manning for Geno Smith, who picks a fight with a lineman, it's like, how do you pick? I don't know how you pick, but all that I know is that I see possibly Eli Manning renegotiating his contract so that no trade clauses drop, so that he can actually go to a team that will play him and not bench him for a scrub-ass Geno Smith quarterback.
Okay, now, I'm with you on that, but I'm wondering if he does leave,
I mean, he'll have the option to leave at that point. And if he does, I'm looking at Jacksonville would be, I think, the choice of, I think it was where we could see Eli Manning go in 2 years.
You can even see him going there this, you know, after this season if he renegotiates his contract. Let's think here real quick. Again, former voice of reason, twice in one show. Holy hell, have mercy, Farmer's got voices of reason today. Maybe it's the glitter going to the brain. I'm not sure yet. But there is no way that McAdoodle or any of the other ownership of the New Jersey Giants will keep Eli Manning on the bench. There is no way in HE double hockey sticks taking it to the rim, baby, that they're going to do this. There's too much time, more so too much money in Eli Manning to have him benched. AKA, this is why Colin Sackerpick then became the starting quarterback of our San Francisco 49ers. There is no way that a owner and or a GM would have a guy making millions of dollars riding second fiddle to Geno Smith.
They're tanking.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. As you know, you made a good point earlier. They're actually, you know, playing for the draft, playing for a better pick in the draft. It could also be one of those things where they're going to go ahead and bench Eli for a little while, keeping from a possibility of being injured. They're not in the play. They've lost. They're not in the playoffs. They're not going anywhere this year. Bench your star quarterback. Don't let him get injured. But in doing so, at the same time, you're kind of injuring him mentally. You know, I mean, he was like seriously like emotional about being benched. So, I mean,
you just don't do it, guys. If you're 0-16, I don't care if you're 0-15. You do not bench Eli Manning. You don't do
it.
Not
only that, I just about guarantee that if they kept him as a starter, he'd pass Brett Favre in that streak. I guarantee he would have passed Brett Favre. And it's crazy. Like, they're benching Eli Manning on some bullshit. Like, they really don't have any kind of legitimate justification to go over. Eli Manning beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Okay? Twice. The only quarterback to ever do that. Okay, the guy can do something. He's got talent. So what if they went to two Super Bowls and then they went on a 4-year losing streak? Who gives a shit? It happens. It's called a drought. But that don't mean you take your star player out. When the 49ers lost, you didn't see him fucking benching Joe Montana, did you?
Well, they did want to trade him.
Yes, they did want to trade him, but I'm saying even when he was still, when they wanted to, before the trade idea, if they lost, they still kept his ass in.
Y'all did get beat. When they bought Steve Young in, you know, Joe got hurt. Joe came back, and he was ready.
Right.
They didn't want to come
right,
back
but Eli
in.
Has Eli's not hurt, though. That's a different scenario, okay? And we see that go through with a lot of people. Okay, it happened with Alex Smith, with Colin Kaepernick. We've seen it happen with a whole bunch of other teams. But this right here is not an injury-related issue. This is them trying to do whatever. I don't even get – you know, I almost want to call New York's organization and be like, what the hell are you doing?
And it won't his fault. It's not his fault because he can't help with it.
No.
All your receivers are hurt.
Exactly. Like McAdoodle. It's McAdoodle's fault.
How much you want to bet McAdoo's gone here soon for making a call
like
this?
Damn right he is.
Dude, you know how many You know how many fans are pissed off right now at this move?
Yeah.
I mean, McAdoo is gone.
Wait a minute. This is ridiculous. Do you think this is McAdoo's call? You think McAdoo went to management and said, "Hey, I'm going to bench Eli Manning," and management was like, "Yeah, that's a good idea."
Sir, I think you're ridiculous for debating McAdoo.
This was not a McAdoo. This was not Ben McAdoo's deal. This came from higher than. This came from Jerry Reese. All right. There is no way.
Are you sure about that?
Ben McAdoo.
Are you sure about that?
I am dead. I'm dead sure. I'm sure of this because.
So you're saying that McAdoo. You're saying that McAdoo did nothing about this at all whatsoever.
I'm gonna say he did not. I'm gonna say Ben McAdoo. I'm gonna have respect for him as a football coach. No football coach in their right mind is gonna say, hey, "I'm gonna bench my starting quarterback for no reason."
No, we've seen it before, dude. It's happened. It's happened. We've seen starting quarterbacks get benched in the middle of a season when they're not going to make playoffs or nothing. They do it. And it keeps their star quarterback from being injured.
Well,
it happens all the time.
Listen to what Jerry Reese said. Jerry Reese said this is not about being 2-9. This is not about Eli Manning. This is about finding. So Jerry Reese was behind it. This is management was behind this lock, step, and barrel. So whether it came from McAdoo or not. The management is the problem here.
You say it's not about this and it's not about this and it's not about that. So you're basically telling me somebody like the Zodiac Killer said it's not about killing, it's about the publicity. I mean, it's about the same exact level right there. Trying to say
this is marching orders that Ben McAdoo was given. Hey, put in somebody else. And you could be right. You could be right. It could be about, you know, trying to save Eli Manning, trying to save his tradability, so that he doesn't get hurt. But it's not coming from my take on it is it's not coming from the coaching staff. It's coming from upstairs. They said, we need to do this. And that's the dysfunction of what the New York Giants are right now.
All right. I'm gonna stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right there, Chris. We gotta wrap this up. We got less than a minute here. Chris, Big T, I want to thank you guys for calling in. And Farmer, take it from here, buddy.
Hey, guys, I want to thank you for tuning in to my Mr. Glitter Sparkles. It's always fun. It's always great. It's always a blessed day here on your morning cup of sports. Just remember, we are the cream. We are the sugar for your day. Hey, B, what time is it?
It is way too late for this shit.
Baby cakes, no, and it is way too early for this shit. And ladies and gentlemen, do the finger. Do it swirly, swirly. Do it backwards. Do it forwards. Go back.